All right, Cassie, take it on.
Okay, my name is Cassie Valle. It says, do you have a position in ministry in your employment? And then where do I have to speak publicly? I am going into education, so I have to speak every day, but to little kids, because I want to do kindergarten. So it'd be little kids, and that's honestly what I do for a job now. I deal with kids all day. And also to parents, that's one thing I'm working on. I don't know really how to communicate to parents. That's the worst. I don't really want to go to public school, teach in public school. I'm shooting for, you know, private schools or anything with a Christian background in it, even though I know public school pays a lot more. My main fears of speaking publicly, I don't necessarily stutter, but I can't. My mind goes faster than my mouth, and you might see that soon, or if not already. what's the next thing you have to get rid of that? I hope to get rid of the ums and the mind going faster than my mouth, getting words out of my mouth at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, thank you. Mia, you can just speak and they'll hear you. Yeah.
I do have a position of ministry. I work with high school kids. So every Sunday I have to speak with them, and then every once in a while I have to speak to the parents if they're doing a retreat or something like that. We have a lot of activities like the whole parish, and so me and one other person are kind of in charge of that. Now, with parents as well. My fears about public speaking, I'm always worried that I'll say something that I shouldn't say. Normally, a big problem for me. And then I hope to be able to organize my thoughts better.
Okay.
I don't like backtrack.
Great. This was Mia Lopez, by the way. I don't remember if she stated her name. Okay, so that's Mia Lopez. Were you able to hear what she said?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, I've already said quite a bit about myself in the email that I sent. And as I said before, one of the major things that is going to happen to my life in the next 4 months actually is a new baby girl coming up. So my first child is actually turned 11 yesterday. Oh, today. Whoa. I'll be in trouble. He turned 11 today, the 13th. Yes. So which means I'll have a newborn and an 11-year-old. So.
Wow. Good luck.
Thank you. So I'm not sure yet how that's going to work out, but I guess I'll have to wait to figure that out soon. And as many of you know, Anthony, you work here, so I think you know everything about me already. And Julie, you are my advisee, I suppose, so... based on what I said in the email already, I don't think there's anything else that I need to add for your sake, unless you had some questions, specific questions that I did not address, then I'll be happy to do that. But other than that,
no, I just do as I'm told. Oh, I would like to share something that I forgot to share. Okay. I'm going to be a first-time grandmother in September, so I'm excited about that.
All right.
My baby's 27.
Oh. Congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah, very good. Well, I guess in a way we have something in common in terms of babies, right? Except it's not your own, you know. I've heard grandparents just spoil their grandkids, you know. They spoil them and they give them back to their parents.
I'll know the gender May 8th, and that's the day I move into the poverty level. It was all my money spoiling.
Right. All right. Well, hopefully she will bring you some money, right? She brings some money with her or with him.
I doubt it.
All right. I'm sure, I'm hoping mine will, right? Bring me some money. Anyway, so I'd like to start really with a passage. You may be familiar with the story where God called Moses to go deliver his people from bondage in Egypt. And there are several passages in there that really deals with kind of doubt about oneself, being able to speak publicly and so forth. So since I understand based on experience and what I've seen from some of your posts and introduction, we are at a different level when it comes to where you are with public speaking. Some of you may have some experience, have done that in various settings for jobs or for classes and so forth, and others maybe just in the academic setting that they have not really had any opportunities to venture out and speak in other settings relevant to outside of the school setting. And I thought Moses probably found himself in a similar situation, that he thought he was not adequate, you know, to talk in public. And he even pointed out to his weakness. He is tongue-tied. Just the same things that we all are saying, they've been said for, I mean, centuries, you know. So I'd like to read Exodus 3, a total of 21 verses, because chapter 3 and chapter 4, I'll pick up a few verses from each of those chapters for that. Chapter 3, I'd like to read verse 7 through 14, and then we'll read verses 1 to 14 in chapter 4. Actually, verse 1 to 16 to really get the sense. So 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and said to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Okay. Even after all of this, Moses still wasn't convinced that he could go, even after God promised him that it would be with him. In chapter 4, verses 1, Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'? Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. 'This,' said the Lord, 'is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.' Then the Lord said, 'Put your hand inside your cloak.' So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. 'Now put it back into your cloak,' he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, 'If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground.' Moses said to the Lord, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue.' The Lord said to him, 'Who gave human beings the mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or make them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.'" All right, he continues. "But Moses said, 'Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else.' Then the Lord's anger burnt against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it." All right, so I know we don't have all those signs, all those miracles, all those, we don't see God, speak to God directly for him to tell us those things, to confirm his spirit being with us. But we know, okay, based on this experience with Moses, we know God has our backs. This is a frightening situation for many, and God understands that. Even he didn't, he negotiated with Moses. He compromised. He sent someone to accompany him, but he did not say, "You don't have to go anymore. I just send your brother in your place." He still said, want him to go, even though he gave him some help. Well, maybe you may end up being Aaron to somebody else. Well, you'll be their mouth and they'll be God to you. You'll speak where they are not able to. That's my hope for us, not just for being in this class, but also from the other experiences that you're going to get from your education. Hopefully we will feel much better about our ability and able to do the things that God calls us to do. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much that you are so compassionate. You're willing to hear, and you know our weaknesses already, but you also are willing to hear us when we bring them up as if you didn't know. Lord, I ask that as we spend the next few weeks together in this course, that we will learn the things that will help us to improve our ability to carry out the message that you've given us. And Father, even in regular day-to-day conversation and other situations where we have to speak, that we always remember that it is not, we are not alone. You are behind us, and you promise that you will put words in our mouths and help us to keep that at the forefront of our thoughts so that we remember this, because this is a promise that you make. And all we have to do is accept and believe that this is true. Father, I pray for each student, those who are live with us tonight, and those who will be watching the recording for this course. I pray, Father, that they will commit themselves to improving their ability and their skills in that area. Help them, Father, not to cop out because they feel they are not up to the task, because you're not going to let us off the hook. You call us, and you want us to follow your will. And I pray that same thing for everyone, each one of the students in this class, that they will accept the challenge, and they will find ways, Father, to improve where they need to improve. And Father, I ask that you also give me wisdom in the way that I carry the course, and so that people can understand and grow together as a class. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. All right, so I am sure most of you, at least the ones that are live with me tonight, should have already gone over the class side and understand the expectations in terms of what is expected for the next few weeks. But unfortunately, I cannot only go on assumption. I need to highlight a few things so that to make sure that we're all on the same page in regard to the expectation. So the next few minutes, what I'm going to do is really look over the site. And let's see here. Okay. Okay, first, let's look, you may have already looked at that, but just in case you haven't, I'd like to at least try to put this course into perspective for us. Some of you here are probably seniors or juniors trying to finish, right? Just waited the last minute to take this course so that it could be easier. Great. Awesome. And others may be earlier in your studies, and you probably don't really understand why. Why am I really taking this course? I mean, could I have graduated without it? Maybe if your degree did not require it, but most of the majors at DCC require a public speaking, a speech class. So very rarely would we have, I think they're probably in the degree completion program. I shouldn't say which major doesn't have it so that student don't jump to that major and switch major. No, I don't think so. But so it is a requirement. And so where that fit in, if you looked at your degree audit, you will see a variety of categories of classes. And one category is your general education area. That's where your history, your psychology, you know, your social, all those courses that are not major courses are listed. So And that department also has objectives that they want to achieve. And one of those objectives specifically relate to our speech class. And that is objective number 2, where it says communicate clearly and persuasively in speaking and conveying the message using appropriate techniques for the subject and audience. So this objective speaks specifically to our ability to communicate well. Now, this is not related only to the speech class, because you may have other classes where you have to give presentation, and classes where you will be assessed in terms of how you communicate, whether it's in writing, but this is specifically for speaking, the ability to communicate well. So this is the objective that really guides the rest of the outcomes that we expect from this course. So you probably have already seen those. So it's broken down into 3 categories of objectives. The first category, cognitive domain objective, include 5 objectives. I'll let you read those just for the sake of time. And the second category has to do with affective domain in terms of how you should behave as a result of taking this course. So, and then finally, psychomotor domain, which means what you do as part of taking this course, utilizing your mind, your body, voice, and basic communication. This is basically physical things that you do. Speak with clarity and with proper expression of the words, including pronunciation, articulation, rhythm. So those are some of the things, some of the outcomes that we will expect to get, in addition to the ones that are in the first 2 categories of outcomes. All right. All right, let's look at the requirements for grading. I mean, not necessarily grading, but where your grade is coming from. Because I think that's one of the areas that if you look very closely to all the different assignments and different things, some of them are weighted a little bit more. So which means those are definitely critical for you to make sure you complete them in order for your grade to be where you want it to be. So first category here you would see is reading assignments. So that means you take quizzes every week. So the first quiz for this week closed at 6:00 today, if I remember well. And I don't remember seeing any email from anyone saying they had technical difficulties. So I'm assuming everyone went in and took the quiz. If you did not, then you're out of luck already because it's already closed. And that would be for subsequent weeks as well. The time for the assignment to close, when it's closed, then it's not going to be to allow you to take the complete the quiz. So make sure to keep track of those in terms of the deadline and when they're due. So 10% of your grade will be based on those quizzes, and 10% will be based on essay questions that you complete. In addition to the quizzes, there are also study questions or essay questions that you complete. Those won't be due until the end of the week, though, which means those essay questions usually will be in the after class section on the side. So that's probably why you probably didn't see them in the before class session. So kind of break them down a bit for you so that you don't have everything due at the same time. So which is one of the good things about, you know, the flex program in terms of the before the and the after class gives you some more time to get those done. Okay, so I do want you to, when it comes to writing, that's also communicating. So I do want you to do your best to write clearly and following whatever guidelines that you need in terms of completing the following the instructions for the questions and answer the questions completely so that you can get full credit for your answers. If you only answer half of the questions, because that one thing I've found is they don't read the whole thing before the answer. They'll read part of it and think, oh, I got it. And then they read an answer. Then they left part of that question out, which means their answer is incomplete. So I would suggest that you really read everything closely to make sure you have a good understanding of what they're asking you. I'm usually not going to go over everything in class because there's not enough time for us to do that. So I am coming in with the assumption that you have at least read some of it, and I'm highlighting other things, and some of it may be things you already got, you understood it very clearly, and that's a good review for you. And for others who probably, I didn't get that very well, I was expecting that you were going to cover it more in depth in the class. If that's the case, then you need to ask the questions. If there is something that wasn't too clear to you, then bring up the question and I let Anthony answer those. All right, so 10% for essays, 5% for reflection question. You also, in the after class section, you have a reflection question that you answer every week. And 10% will be for participation. For those of you who attend live, you will not need to watch recording and post questions and take quiz during the recording. That's your participation. So that means I'm expecting you to participate and get involved. If I ask questions or if you have questions, then feel free. This is speech, so I do want you to speak. So feel free to jump in if you have something that you want to say. As long as we can manage it, there's not, I think with the number of students I have online, I'm sure that shouldn't be a problem. And so I'm really about participation and getting involved, everybody in the process. Okay, so you get 10% of your grade based on being here and participate. All right, let's get to spiritual formation. This is a new thing. How many of you have done something like that for another class? The spiritual formation, okay, from spiritual transformation report. Have you, Mia? Okay. All right, so you would definitely want to read. There are quite a bit of instructions already listed on there for you if you have not done it. Once you try to do it, if you have questions, then if I can answer those questions, I will. If not, I definitely try to direct you to someone who can. I think we started this, was it this semester? Or I think so.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I have other classes where they have a spiritual discipline journal that they do, but the spiritual transformation part, that's for this class especially, that's the first time I've had that. And then for other classes, if you've taken other classes that include that, then you might have already done some of this already. All right, so here are where the specific assignment relating to preparing speeches or learning how to prepare speeches. We call it really speech activities. So 25% of your grade. So that tells you if you did not do any of those things in that category, you will be limiting your grade to 75%. That is with the with the understanding you would be getting a perfect grade on everything, and that will give you a C. So, which means that's what I mean by paying attention to the percentage for the assignment and see, okay, well, if I didn't do those things, my chance for passing is reduced significantly. Okay, so there are two speech reviews. I think the first one is in week 2, if I remember well. And the second one is further down, I think either week 4 or 5. And so the speech review is basically, one is you listen to a speech for the first one, and then you do there are specific instructions in terms of what to do with that assignment. I'll show it quickly in just a second, but it should be, I'll do that probably next week at the beginning of class next week and show the requirements so that everybody's on the same page, since it's not due until the end of next week, so to save time. You will have an impromptu 2-minute presentation that's supposed to be due by the morning of next Thursday, I believe. So hopefully you'll get that done before Thursday, but you're not rushing trying to get it done at the very deadline, 8 o'clock. Most people are sleeping by then. So. So hopefully you'll get that taken care of. What you do really is you follow the instructions for that. It's on the side. It tells you what to do, what number to call, and you'll give a 2-minute impromptu speech on the topic that you will get when you call. So you would want to make sure you get about a few seconds, maybe 20 to 30 seconds after you listen to the topic to really gather your thought very quickly. So you're not going to have a lot of time because it's impromptu. So we want you to speak almost immediately. So one area that I would say is as soon as you hear the topic, begin creating an organization in your head in terms of, you know, how you're introducing this, what would be some key points that you want to advance and develop those key points. Even if it's fast, you still want to have some sort of, some kind of organization in your thoughts so that it's understood. So the three parts, introduction, body, and conclusion, no matter how short the presentation is, those parts are still relevant. So you would want to, once you hear the topic, then you can think very quickly, you know, how you're going to approach that, okay? So the topic is not going to be something that will require to have done research anyway, so that's it's going to be applicable for that type of speech, so it should be fine there. You will have a memorization, a scripture memorization that you will do, and that will be included within the 25%. You will choose your own audience for that. The instructions are on there as well. In fact, starting tonight, I think it does say start preparing for your memorized scripture. Because let me make this clear for us who are here. If you are with us, then we are your audience. So you don't need to find another audience to do this. I'm hoping that I'm not missing anyone that are online that I can't see. But so whoever attends live, whether is in the classroom or online, you will be delivering that. And you won't even need to write that 1-page report that they talk about here. We'll talk about that later since it's not due until week 3. So whenever you attend, you will recite, and you probably will be done with that assignment. You won't need to go back and do the report, because the report is for people who will be doing it to an outside audience, and they have to give evaluation form, and they'll be taking up those forms to write the report on. So if you do it here, then you won't need to do any of that. So we'll just get your grade for doing it. By the way, those are free hundreds as long as you do those things. Those are completion grades. Those are not really meant for you to, it's really to get you warm up, okay? So the read, it's scripture reading and the memorization and the impromptu speeches, those three minor presentations, they're only for completion grade. You do it, you get the grade. You don't do it, you don't get the grade. So, which means it's 300 for those. That will stop when we start giving the major speeches. Then you will be evaluated more in depth, more with, you have specific criteria that you need to meet, and we'll tell you what those criteria are when we, as we get closer to those. And obviously talking about watch other speeches, student speeches, and do complete review for them as well. So you'll get to those when we get there. So two major speeches you'll be giving is an informative speech and a persuasive speech. The persuasive speech is not until the end of the class, but the informative speech will be, I believe, in week 5, but you start preparing that and submitting parts for that in week 3 or 4. So that's why we're going to be going through the class in terms of the way you read the chapters. It's not going to be in a linear fashion, because the way we set the class, we're going to be covering those chapters based on what, but based on the structure and how we structure the class. Okay, so keep that in mind. And we'll say more about the persuasive speeches and the informative speeches as we get closer to them. So 15% for the informative speech and 20% for the persuasive speech. So which means that total for those major speeches is 35%. Again, do the math. You miss them, then your grade really becomes much harder to get to the passing grade. Okay? So I wanted to make sure we are all on the same page with that. Keep those numbers in your head, and as you go through the class, and if you something comes up where you could not submit everything, which I hope that's not going to be an issue, but if it is, then you know what are those you can get a pass on. Even if you miss it, it's not going to kill your grade. But others, but if you miss that, it will definitely affect your grade significantly. So make sure to keep track of those things. All right, I think that's about it for this one. And for the after class session in week 1, we'll have the impromptu speech and the essay and the reflection. And that would be it for that part. Okay, any questions about anything? You've already done it, so I'm just repeating myself, or you got it covered?
Well, I do have a question. It's for today's class only. If you have to leave, I guess, the live virtual video and in between class, or like in the middle of class you have to go, would you have to still do the discussion or the watch the video and answer the questions, I'm assuming?
Well, it all depends on how much. When you said leave, that means you started but you didn't finish the live class?
Correct.
Okay. It all depends on how much you're missing.
Okay.
I mean, if you're talking 5 minutes, then 5 minutes, that's probably, but if you're talking, 30 minutes to 30, 45 minutes, then that's, you would
want
to make that up. So.
Got it. Just want to make sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? All right. Split and double. All right, so let's go ahead and get started here with the material for tonight. Excuse me. All right, so you had to read, I believe, 3 chapters for tonight, and chapters 1, 2, and 9. As I mentioned, we're obviously skipping around for a reason, so that we can hit things as they come due. We don't want to be running behind, so that we cover some of the material before you actually do the assignments that relate to the content of what we cover, because of how we structure the class. Now, you did your reading, and obviously when you get your book, you definitely saw the title on it. So tonight we're going to be obviously talking more about, you know, some of the things relevant to the basic communication and public speaking in terms of speaker responsibilities. And we'll chapter 2 talks about communication anxiety and apprehension. We'll say a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about outlining. I do have an exercise that I hope we can complete together on outlining. It's a scramble outline. We're going to unscramble it. Yeah, I know. Good thing it's not an egg, because you can't unscramble the egg. So, so when you read the title of your book, the subtitle said, you know, it was public speaking, finding your voice, right? And different people have different perceptions about what public speaking is all about and what it does. In fact, some people don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, they would stay as far away as having to speak in public as possible. Let's say you had not opened your book yet. You just look at the title of the book. What did you think the author meant by the tag "finding your voice" before you had read it, if you did read that particular part of it?
I think like finding your confidence in speaking.
Okay. Yeah, finding your confidence in speaking. And there are several other things that you may do as well. So, and how do we find our confidence in speaking? Does basically come to this thing. So the confidence comes from developing technical competence, right? So part of one of the things that we'll be doing here in this class, that's the goal of the class, is to at least look at the principles that help us become more competent in the way we communicate our thoughts, the way we organize our thoughts, and the way we know how to deliver a presentation that actually is effective. Because the goal is effectiveness, not just, you know, doing it, but doing it effectively. Okay. So developing technical competence, learning to outline, learning to organize your thought, learning to structure a presentation in a way that it makes sense to your audience, and so forth. So learning about yourself, which means what? If you develop that competency, the technical competency, then you become more comfortable. This is what Cassie just mentioned. You become more confident. and your ability now, because you know the nuts and bolts and how to do it better. Okay. So when you learn more about yourself, you become, you're able to take stand for things that you value, the things that mean, the topics that mean something to you. You're not afraid anymore to take a stand and speak when there is a need to do that. So which leads you to finding your place in society, as the book said, because you become, you're not afraid to participate in your community groups. You know, if you're a homeowner, for example, you have homeowners association. When you have those things, develop technical competence, then you probably decide, oh, I want to be the president of my homeowners association because I get to speak in front of people. So you find, you'll be able to find a topic that relevant to civic duties that you feel more comfortable doing because you have the competences. So this is a part of what finding your voice tag was basically communicating. Was there anything else that you thought this was communicating in addition to those things? Nope.
I didn't really give it any thought whatsoever until after I started reading.
Okay.
Then it's about, like it says here, finding your place in society. You know, being able to communicate a topic that you're passionate about or you're interested in.
Right.
So that's...
Yeah, that's basically it. You become more, you want to be involved now, as instead of always be reserved and not want to be seen, not want to be heard. Now that you have found your voice, you want to be heard. You want to get involved in the things that matter to you because you feel comfortable, more comfortable doing that than before. So that's part of what it was trying to communicate. All right. Anthony, you had your mic off in a while. Were you going to say something? I don't want to skip you.
No, I just thought I lost my voice, and so I needed to find it. You know, I'm looking around for it.
Well, I did lose mine. I think maybe, was it Monday? Stay home, you know, and rested my voice completely for the entire day without talking on the phone or anything like that. I worked the entire day, but I did not talk as much so that I could be ready to teach tonight, because I know I was going to have to teach I had to teach on Tuesday and today. And today is my long day, actually. I start teaching since 1 o'clock. And finish at 4 and then start this one. So if I start dozing off, so don't feel free to, you know, turn on your mic and scream, all right? So I'll be awake then, all right?
All right.
All right, so this is what we mean by finding your voice. Now, obviously, when it comes to public speaking, I think sometimes we think of a speech as something that can be taken, you know, in isolation, you know, that I'm the speaker, I'm in charge of everything, I just prepare the speech and I deliver it without thinking about all the other things, all the other elements that kind of come together really to give you that effective presentation. Your Osborne, the author of your book, identifies those 7 things that are considered part of the process, what he calls an interactive process. And I think, obviously, I will just go over this rather quickly. And I have some questions for you, though, about some of those. So be ready for those questions. So obviously, we have a in order to have a speech, it's obvious you have to have a speaker who has an idea that wants to that he or she wants to communicate. And the idea, how that speaker convey the idea, will be based on many things. It will be based on how the person, what the person believes about this idea, how passionate they are about it. That will even affect their delivery mode. Because which means if you are talking about something that you're not enthusiastic about, then you probably will have a low energy, you know, about it. This is when it's something that you're really passionate about, then your body language, your gestures, and everything about you communicate your enthusiasm about that. And so to have that and put those things together into words and present that, this is basically the content of what a message will be. It's basically what you communicate to your audience. You initiate the process, but by really stating what your message is, what is it you want to communicate, and that's the message. But that's why you usually will be talking about having a specific purpose. You know exactly what you want from the audience, and as a result of listening to your presentation, as a result of listening to your message, and how you design that message will also be depend upon the type of audience that you have, and the type of idea that you're communicating, because there are so many different ways to structure a message to make it effective. So those are some of the things that we'll be also looking at in terms of, you know, how I have this topic, I know my purpose. First, I need to have my thesis statement so I know exactly what I want to communicate, and then develop from there to determine, you know, what you get from your audience. So, and then the means through which you communicate this message is what we call the channel. That's the medium as well. So if you designing a message to be communicating face-to-face with an audience where you have people right in front of you, it does affect the way you present the message. Versus if you're preparing a message to be communicated on TV, on the radio, obviously if you listen to radio quite a bit, you probably hear there's more description in messages that are designed to be delivered via radio, because people can't see you. They only listen to your voice. So therefore, you really have to use your voice more effectively. And sometimes things that you probably would not say if you were right in front of the audience, you would have to make sure that you say that so that people know this is an audio presentation. Does that make sense? So it is important to think about, you know, the channel. How am I going to be delivering this message? Is it face-to-face? Is it radio? Am I taping something to be put on YouTube? In fact, for us, even for us in this classroom, we will be using different channels. You know, some of you will be online, like you are right now, giving your presentations, and others, like Mia, will be in the classroom. So the dynamic will be different. And we'll want to make sure that you positioned yourself in a certain way so that you can deliver your message without distraction and anything like that. Television, radio, YouTube, social media, all those are types of channels that can be used to deliver a particular message. So you would have to keep that in mind as you plan your message. The setting, again, has to do with the physical, physical and mental setting. Physical would be in the classroom, for example, how things are arranged, where would you be standing, do you have a podium or a lectern that you need to stand on? I mean, how are you outdoors where there would be birds flying, people walking by that could be distracting. Hopefully the birds would not drop anything on your head, on your paper, you know, this kind of thing. So is there wind blowing that you want to make sure you anchor your notes appropriately so that they don't fly away from you? So you have to plan all of those, because if you don't, then you end up probably being surprised. Oh, I did not think, I did not, you know, anticipate this to happen. So you have to really be thinking about all of those. Mental processing of your audience is also can be part of the setting, because if your audience is eager to listen to your message, there is one way you approach it. If they couldn't care less about what you're presenting, then you're going to have to try to make it more interesting and try to really get them involved and show them what's in that message for them so that you encourage them, they become more encouraged to listen. So there, the setting plays quite a bit in preparation in terms of how you set yourself. I've been to presentations where the room itself was really awkward, that the speaker did not really have a good place to stand. So you could see as the audience, you're looking, okay, I'm looking at your back when I should be looking at your face because of the way the room is setting. So you have to think about those things if you're preparing presentation and understanding where it will be. Interference would be based on what I just talked about. I'm skipping audience for just on purpose. I'll come back to it. So interference has to do with noise or anything that could interfere with the effectiveness of your message. It could be barriers that are created in the setting that you are, as I said earlier, if you're presenting outdoors where there are distractions, so you have to plan for that and how you go, you're able to overcome those type of distractions. So your classroom, the audience can be distracting. You can be distracting to the audience in the way and things that you do, the behaviors sometimes that we have as speakers. That those can also be interference, where not interference for you, but interference for the audience to be able to get your message. Okay, so we'll talk about barriers later on to listening, I think, in one of the chapters. Feedback. That's actually one of the things that I think sometimes we can take for granted. We think, I'm the speaker, as long as I deliver a great speech, then I accomplish my goal. But, well, you still need to think about how the audience is receiving your message. Are you getting through to them? Because you could give a great speech, but if nobody understood, weren't able to follow with you, then do you accomplish your goal? Probably not. You spoke well. You were very articulate. Those are good things. But you did not keep in mind your audience in terms of what you wanted to accomplish, what you wanted them to do as a result of your speech, what you wanted them to understand as a result of your presentation. So you left that out. So you don't really look at them in terms of the facial expression. If you look at your audience, sometimes you can tell when they understand or when they do not understand, based if they give appropriate feedback. They don't always give appropriate feedback. But if you missed those hints, you know, you're speaking too loud or you're speaking too softly, they have question mark right in the forehead because they want to ask a question, but they can't really ask because it's not an open you know, kind of discussion. It's you presenting. So you have to really look at the audience to really see those things and use those feedbacks that you are getting to rephrase things, to give different examples, to clarify things. If you see there's any signs of confusion or anything like that, you always have to use the feedback. People who missed those feedbacks, often their presentation are often not effective unless it was so clear, there was no question, everything went well, and so forth. But other than that, you should have to pay attention to the feedback the audience is giving you, okay? Now, we will have a chapter focused particularly on audience analysis, that's why I didn't say much about that. And we're going to be focusing a little bit on talking about some of the responsibility for speaker in a minute. But let me ask you this. Among all the seven elements, since it's an interactive process, obviously all the elements are important. But based on what you know about these elements, which one of them would you say, in terms of getting an effective presentation, which one of those elements would you say is the most critical to pay attention to?
I would say the message.
Okay. Why?
Well, if you're going to hear someone speak, you may have purposely chosen this speaker based on the topic. Because I personally won't go hear someone speak on something I'm not interested in. So that would be my first, my number one reason is the message.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about you as the speaker. What?
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I wasn't paying attention. I'm going to have to ask you to repeat the question. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You as the speaker, which one of those elements you think is most most critical for you?
Go ahead.
No, Cassie, go ahead. I
would say setting, honestly, because I get distracted easily. And if it's not the right setting, that to me, that would
okay.
not be good.
All right. Mia?
I think it's the message.
Think it's the message as well. Okay. Anthony?
All of it.
All of it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the chart here as a speaker, there's many times where I get distracted. So I could see the setting where Cassie's talking about someone walks through and then I'm not paying attention. My mind is elsewhere. But the channel too, I mean, if you're in front of people, it's going to be a lot more pressure and, you're going to feel some of that facial expressions, body language, interest in speech. Yeah, all of that really plays a big part in it.
Okay. All right. Now, it's true, they are all important, but, and this is where often we get in trouble, is when we ignore the audience in terms of what differentiates one audience versus another and be able to adapt to different audiences and so forth. So it doesn't matter how well you structure your speech, how well you put it together. If you lose your audience, all these things don't matter anymore. Because your audience, the message is for your audience, not for you. So when you create your message, you have to think about everything that you can find out about that audience. Because you're going to be presenting to them, that you want them to, your purpose. If it's to get them to understand something, well, at the end of the message, did they understand it? If your purpose was for them to be persuaded to take action on something. But at the end of your message, did they get it? Did they accept your proposal to do as you asked? Did they understand the position you were presenting? Because that is the key. If they do not get it, it does. As a teacher, I could teach, I could give a good class, but if at the end of the class you walk out not understanding anything that I said, not being able to do the things that I expected that you will be able to do, then I did not achieve my objection, my objective. My speech was great, but it did not, it was not effective. And we should focus on effectiveness, not just trying to be perfect. A perfect speech may not necessarily be effective. Obviously, if it's not effective, it's not perfect. But but you understand. So you should really, the audience is the most important part in all those elements, that if you miss that, then you missed your goal. Okay? So this is why we're going to, this is why we talk about, you should interact with the audience. You should look them in the eye. You should know how to approach them depending on which audience you're addressing. You need to know what make them tick, if so to speak, if I could say that, because you're going to be trying to find and knowing as much as you can about that audience so that you can convey your message to that specific audience in an effective way. Okay. Julie, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. All right. So let's take a look at some of the things that we should at least already know, but I'll point to them, some of the expectations or some of the responsibilities we expect as a speaker to have. Okay. So there are three elements that I'd like to point to. As a speaker, obviously, your body speaks volume. Okay. We will be talking about nonverbal a little bit when we talk about principles for delivery. But just because I know you're going to be giving some of the minor speeches early on, I wanted to at least hit those, very quickly. So confident. Your body needs to communicate confidence. If you want people to believe in what you're communicating, and you're saying one thing, but your body is saying something different, then you're contradicting yourself. And you need to show that you have the situation under control. Okay? You need to show that your body is relaxed. You're not hunch over, you're not, you're maintaining an appropriate posture. And if you're enthusiastic about something, it needs to come out in the way you communicate with your body. If you're sad about something, it will be able to be caught as well. So your body, you need to pay attention to your body as a speaker in terms of what you're communicating, not just verbally, orally, but non-verbally as well. And we'll say, we have more to say about non-verbal, the power of non-verbal. In fact, we probably would want to watch a whole video on that to kind of bring that home for us, okay? So first impression is important. If you lose the audience in the first 10 seconds, you probably will not get them back anymore. Maybe not. So keep that in mind. When you walk up to a podium, the first 10 seconds, every eye is on you. You are the center of attention for that time at least. Well, in some cases, in most cases. So you need to make sure you convey, that confidence, and so that right at the start, you get that impression, that first impression, okay? So second element is your mind. Obviously, public speaking is communication, and communication is an art. It's not a science, right? So the way your mind think, your mind function, your mind operates is different than the way my mind operates. Let me be specific. The way Cass's mind operates is different from the way Anthony's mind operates, right? Because God creates us to be different, and we're all different. And he knows he created us to be creative as well. So you have to use your mind and believe that. I have people say, you know, I have nothing to say. I don't have any message that I want to communicate that I feel like is important. One of the things that I've found, especially when it comes to selecting topics, you know, for those research speeches, it can be the hardest thing because people don't feel like they have anything that they can structure a message that is really meaningful to communicate with the audience. So you have to start believing those things if you're going to create and be effective at using your mind appropriately. Cassie?
Sorry to interrupt, but I must go. So I will see y'all next week.
Okay. Well, sorry to you didn't stay with us the rest of
the night. It was a bad first day, I know, but I'll be on the rest of the time. So I'll see y'all next week.
Well, we'll miss you then.
Oh, well, I'll miss you all.
Bye, Cassie.
Bye, Cassie.
Bye.
All right. All right. So you have to believe that you have something important to say, and believe that, you know, you have a way of putting that message in the way that people can understand it, basically. So if you don't have any confidence in that part, then it's going to be very hard for you to move forward with, you know, the process of creating and actually deliver your speech, okay? So think about, use your mind for what it was created for, the creative and the way you put things together. Since we're all different, the way you say things, the way you structure things may be different than the way I say things, the way I would create things. So you have different ways. It's an art, it's not a science, so we'll have different way of doing it. We just need to learn the basic principles and apply them in the way that fits our style, and the way that fits our personality in some ways, okay? And then thirdly is your voice. And I know for some people, speaking is a challenge for them because they just don't think they can use the voice as powerfully as they should. Okay, so some very brief technique. You know, there are various ways that you can learn to emphasize your voice and use your voice to, when you need to speak louder, to emphasize ideas. There are ways to do that. Some of the things that is recommended is to breathe, learn to breathe correctly. People who are nervous when they're speaking, they can lose the ability to breathe appropriately, right? It's like you become breathless, you know? So part of your ability in developing that competence or confidence that we talked about is to learn to control your breathing, to protect your voice. Because when you're not doing that well, your voice becomes shaky, sometimes instead of speaking louder, you probably have a very soft voice because you're not really focusing on the things that can help you really have a powerful voice. So there are exercises that you can do for that, and we'll be talking more about some of those later on as well. Okay, so three things as a speaker in terms of things to start looking for, start looking at in preparation is your body, your mind, and your voice, start thinking about how you're going to make those more powerful and more creative, and communicating the things that you want to communicate non-verbally and verbally as well, so that there is no confusion in one type of communication. All right. So how about your responsibilities? Those were things that you went into your responsibility. We ask you to do research, you know, for those pages. And therefore, those major speeches, they do require you to at least to cite sources. They ask you to really dig deep for research. And you're going to have to speak from what we call from responsible knowledge, that basically based on research, right? So if you're giving an informative speech, for example, you should show some evidence of having conducted some research. Even though it may be a topic that you're familiar with, you will not, just your own experience will not be sufficient, even though it can be complementary, right? So we'll need to see that you do external research to help corroborate, you know, some of the ideas that you're presenting. So see, I'm not the only one thinking that way. There are other people out there that have thought about this and so forth. So in those ways, in order for you to speak from responsible knowledge, you need to show that you know main points of concerns about your topics, especially if you're trying to persuade people. You're not just, you know, tunnel vision, you know, that you ignore everything else, all the other sides. It's just, you know, so you need to show that you even though I may have a position on this, but I also understand the other side, what they do. So if you show that, then you can be more convincing in showing those other sides are weak. You can show the weaknesses in those other points, and so you're aware of them, but you still want your position to be to support your position on that if it's persuasive. So be aware of what other experts think about those particular ideas and topics that you're advancing, which means you, depending on the topic, sometimes the information needs to be fresh, because there is a time when something that you knew was true 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, may not be true today. So you want to make sure that if you're giving advice, especially if you're trying to get people to come to a certain understanding of certain position, then you make sure you do your homework in terms of identifying up-to-date information that is fresh. And you, because you're considering the impact your message is having on your audience, and therefore you will need to do adequate research to be ready for that. Okay, so that's one responsibility. So don't quote out of context. So that's part of understanding the impact of your message on your listeners. Sometimes we want to just make my point heard, and I'll do whatever I can, you know, to get people to believe certain things. So it is unethical to use those techniques. Just take a piece of information and make it walk on all fours. I don't know if you're familiar with that expression or not. You know, make it say everything except what it was meant for. I'm just saying, because you just pluck it out of the context that it was created for. So that would be what we mean by a quote out of a context. We do that a lot, especially with scripture. For those of us who have spoken, who have discussions with other people, you know, they pull out a verse, you know, somewhere, and because it kind of helped them justify certain behavior or certain action, they just use it without really thinking about the context in which that particular verse was used. So this would be similar to using any part of speech, any part of a work from somebody else, and just really use it without thinking of the context. And your responsibility, you also have a responsibility not to plagiarize, which means I think sometimes people have a very hard time stating their sources orally. If in writing, they probably don't have any problem with that, they write the source. In fact, I've had students giving speeches when at the end of the speech, you just have a slide or something that says, this is where I got all my sources, and they have a list of sources. But throughout the speech, they never stated anything. They never said, you know, according to so-and-so, this is why. They never stated any name, any source orally, okay? Obviously, if I see your outline, I will see the sources. But people who just listen to your speech, they don't know where you got those sources. So you have to cite sources throughout the presentation as you go. So, and it, when you don't do that, that becomes plagiarism, because you're stating ideas and thoughts that are not your own without giving credit. There's nothing wrong with using other outside sources in presentation and speeches. It just means you just need to say where you got it. That's it. Okay. And so, how to avoid plagiarism? Those are some techniques that you may want to look at. One key thing here is one of the key things is provide oral citations, not just written. And allow sufficient time for research. Obviously, I skipped a few from the top. So obviously, you know, in order for you to have time to look proper sources, you have to put some time into it, you know, so that you don't wait the night before, because obviously you, when you're in a rush, you just get the first thing that comes and you don't have time to really look to see whether this is a credible source or not, because you're in a hurry trying to get information. So take careful notes. Don't use just one source. Because if you do a speech and you only use one source, and it's just like a report on an article versus a speech. A speech is a compilation. Of information that helps you support a particular thesis or theme in your presentation. So you have more to consult, you know, more than one source, instead of giving just a report on an article. That's not what a speech is about, okay? So those are some of the things you can do to avoid plagiarism, okay? And hopefully this is not gonna be an issue, and we may not have to talk about it at all after that, right? Great. All right, so I think it may be time for us to take a break, but I'm showing 20 till 8. Does everyone have that time? Is that
correct? Yeah, that's right.
That's right? Okay, my watch is on point. Good. Because my clock on the wall says almost like 15 till. So I said, that doesn't look right. So my watch is the right time. All right. So 20 minutes.
Great. Yeah.
Good.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So let's go ahead and take 20 minutes. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about, speaking fear, you know, and also talk about outlining, and hopefully we'll have time to do our exercise on scramble outline. All right, so I will see you in 20 minutes, about 8 o'clock.